To begin, let me read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52. Perhaps we start here with verse 6. May I ask that we stand up for it? Isaiah 52 from verse 6. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Let us pray. Lord our God, Creator of heaven and earth, you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you, the God of Israel, you have become our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you, by your Spirit, will work in a mighty way. You also know the prayer requests, about the prayer petitions. You know all the needs. Dear Lord, together we ask you, come into our midst. Go through our rows, bind up all the wounds, comfort the bereaved. Let us see eye to eye how you return to your people, how you manifest yourself, how you bless, save, heal, how you baptize with spirit and fire, how you seal unto the day of the bodily redemption. Dear Lord, here we are, we humble ourselves before you. For you are holy, and again holy, O Lord. All the earth is full of your glory. Forgive us our shortcomings. Everything what didn't please you in words or deeds or thoughts, Take it from us, O Lord. Be in this hour our high priest. It is you, not after Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. You entered with your own holy blood into the Holy of Holies and put it upon the mercy seat. And now your blood speaks for us, for all those who are pardoned, for all the redeemed, for all who are reconciled. Take every thought of condemnation, of inner conflict, of complaints. Take everything out of us. May we lay it before your feet and leave it there. Do well to us according to your great mercy. You, the great God, pass over us with your glory, with your goodness. Oh, how do we thank you that you revealed yourself to us. You made known unto us your word and your name. We know who you are, the first and the last, he who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Before Abraham was, you were. Lord, we place this gathering consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb, and we ask you deeply for the leading of your Holy Spirit. May all who are present or later on hear the cassettes, may they be certain that you have spoken with all of us. Give us grace to receive your word in a fine and good heart, to believe it, to ponder on it, and to keep it. To you we say thanks for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Then I have greetings from England, and this time of a very special kind. Connected with it is a prayer petition. There is a representative of the Islam who until now has challenged all the speakers on the TV concerning the Godhead. He says, referring to the Bible from the Old Testament, that there was only one God and there can be only one God, and all Christian representatives, and this I say now to the shame of all Christianity, not one of them could shut this man's mouth. And now people approached me and said, listen, would not you be the suitable man to bring the matter to the right denominator? Yes, I said, God willing, I'm available. But that will take a while. This is really on my heart to show it from the Old Testament, how God revealed himself and yet he remained God. Amen. 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 Let us go straight away into our word observation. For what would be more important than to come to know the will of God from the word of God? And as Brother Müller just said, this should be always our heart's desire, to be in the matter from the beginning, to go with, to open our hearts, to not just expect the blessing of God at the end. You all know this is actually a traditional custom in the denominations and state churches. There they wait until the clergy at the end pronounces then the blessing. But in the gatherings of the saints, one doesn't wait until somebody pronounces the blessing. We wait for it that God blesses us during the proclamation of the word. For our blessing does not come from him who makes three crosses and brings a dictum over his lips. Our blessing comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth, from the God of Abraham, who spoke to him, "I will bless you, and thou shalt be a blessing." Whether you believe this or not, we are the blessed of the Lord. And now it comes. We think here on our trials and some kind of things which we don't like so much. And then the question comes up, are we really the blessed of the Lord? Why did this happen to us? And why this? Why is it this way and not that way? Please, today we go into the Word to show us that all children of God, in the Old and in the New Testament, we're not walking on roses or rested, but they had to walk on steep and thorny ways. But the Lord was their destination. He was their way. He was their truth. He was their life. And by this, they could endure all things by his strength. And they are numbered to the overcomers. Don't look on yourself, not on the manifold trials, not on the little aches and pains, whether they are of physical or spiritual kind. Look to the Lord. He will make all things well and bring it wonderfully to pass. There is already a German saying, "All's well that ends well." And James writes it in chapter 5. Consider their end and follow their faith. Consider their end. And here we think on the prophets of whom it is spoken of there. And our Lord says, where is a prophet whom you did not persecute? A man sent from God whom you did not stone? They had to walk on thorny ways, but they carried the precious seed. And if we carry this precious seed of the unfalsified word of God, then we also have to walk on the same ways, taking upon us the same afflictions, to be misunderstood, to go outside of the camp, and to bear the reproach of Christ. What did Jesus our Lord say? Honor from men I do not receive, but ye seek not the honor that comes from the only God, but ye receive honor from one another. There are people who want to honor only God. On the way here today, that goes through a wonderful region of Austria and Switzerland, I had to think about a sermon of Brother Branham with a title, God in the Universe, God in Christ, God in His People. And then the thought came to me, if we look into the creation, Then we see even today the divine order as he established them back then. He said, let everything bring forth after its own kind, seed-bearing herbs. Everywhere he laid life into it, the reproduction and so forth. Even today, everything is the way in all of the universe, in the creation, as the Creator arranged it. There was not one who came up with suggestions for improvement. There are only those who slowly find out that man is busy to destroy this wonderful harmony of the divine creation. But thanks be to God for the wonderful promise to make a new heaven and a new earth in which shall dwell righteousness. And it says, the old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. We also have with the second part of this threefold title, no problem, to see God in Christ. He could say, if you don't believe me that I am he, then believe me for the very work's sake, for they bear witness of me. This was a very plain, a clear statement. We can read it in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, from verse 12. Then I think on the wonderful word that shall lead us over from the second to the third part of this subject, or of the title of the sermon of Brother Branham, in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Of Christ it is being said here, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Most people stop at verse 9, rejoice about it, that God revealed himself in Christ, that God was in Christ. Yes, that all the fullness of the Godhead was manifested bodily here on this earth in Jesus Christ our Lord. But if there would not have been a divine purpose connected with it to include us in it, then it would not have helped us at all. Everything what God has done, he has done for our sake. We are the main thing in the eyes of God. One question: why did God become man? Just because he wanted to become man? No, to be able to redeem mankind. Yesterday, in Salzburg, I mentioned the word, or I used the phrase, God has become human, or he was humanized in order to make us gods. The Lord took upon him the form of a servant, so that we, who we were given over to slavery, could be transformed into his image and become sons and daughters of God. Not will become, we have become. The only thing what is still outstanding is the changing of this decrepit body. This is it, but your and my redemption, your and my forgiveness, the eternal life, the divine sonship, the salvation, the grace was given to us. In this we may glory. Now we come to this point, or to this main subject here. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wonderful, glorious. We say yes and amen. We see God in the creation, no question. We say, how great thou art, how great thou art, how wonderfully you arranged all things. Now we look on Christ and see that in him all the fullness of the Godhead was bodily manifested on earth. Now comes verse 10. And ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Can we say amen to it? Look, dear brothers and sisters, we don't need to hesitate here. We just have to visualize one point. To always agree with God in that what he says through his word, and showing the devil always as a liar with that what he says. Did we understand this? We always have to agree with God, even though our eyes see something different and our ears hear something different. We have to take the side of God. What was with Abraham? He got weaker and weaker, according to the body, but after the spirit, he got stronger and stronger. And we see what it's about. He saw his body as good as dead, but he didn't stop at this view at himself. And then he looked on him who is invisible, as he would see him, and called those things which be not as though they were. Because he believed what God said. We are the seed of Abraham. We are not wrong if we look on our body and say, all right, at the moment I'm not feeling so well. That's not bad. That's a very natural assessment. But we don't stop at this. We make a second step and look on the Lord, who was wounded for our transgressions. He was smitten for our sins. The chastisement was laid on him, so that we might have peace, and by his stripes we were healed. This is the step of faith, the way of faith, which we just have to walk. Something else does not exist for us. We will still look at some scriptures now, and I know already now that they will be a great blessing for you. In Hebrews, I would like to read Hebrews chapter 2, and I read this for our comfort, for the strengthening, for the edification. Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 7 to 9. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But it goes on. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. How wonderfully here the writer has put the things and divided them. All things are subject to him. Nothing is excluded. No death, no hell, no devil. Nothing is excluded. All things have been made subject under his feet. And then the writer shows us here, probably Paul, the time plan of God. And with the time plan of God, only few believers can cope. For them, in the moment when Jesus rose on the third day, death should not be anymore. Should be over. Death is conquered. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? But only at the last judgment, death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire, not already yesterday or today. So, we find out that God has a time plan. How many of us believe that Jesus Christ was the seed who came through the woman according to the promise, Genesis 3, verse 15. Who believes it? That the seed of the woman would come to bruise the head of the serpent. He will bruise your heel, but you shall bruise his head. Who believes that this took place? I believe it. Amen. Amen. This took place. And let me say something here today, so that I don't hold you too long in suspension. For a child of God, death as a cruelty does not exist at all. Death as separation is not here at all. If death has to serve for us for some kind of thing, then he just takes care that we, in a very elegant way, are transferred from time into eternity, and for nothing else. Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory? Everything was made subject to the Lord. You all know, death means separation. And for us, separation does not exist. For us, there is, through the death of him who died in our stead, the reconciliation with God. He abolished separation. He has taken away the middle wall of partition. He has torn in pieces the handwriting of requirements and manifested grace and salvation to all them who believe on him. And by faith in the finished work of redemption, we also have been justified. It is clearly stated here, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But this day comes. In Hebrews 1 we can read it. When he comes for the second time, then all angels of God will serve him, and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Let us read a word concerning death and hell. just in view of that on whom it applies. Of course, not on us, who we are believers. We have nothing to do with death and hell. We deal with salvation and heaven. But in Revelation, in chapter 6, from verse 7, referring to the fourth seal, it says here, Revelation 6, verse 7, you all know what is being set forth here. I hope all have read the seven seals. Here, the Antichrist is shown in his four stages. Thus, Brother Branham has received it as the Thus saith the Lord, bindingly from God. There are enough interpreters of the scripture. They also sometimes let themselves be blinded by a color description. And if it's written here, I saw a white horse, then they mean, so white, this is a nice thing, this will all be fine. But that this thing has started so inconspicuous, this the people did not understand. There was the need of a prophet to whom the word of God came. And I remember it, how he in the sermon, it can be heard clearly on the tape, how he said there relieved. I also until now have seen it in a different way. But today, it was revealed to me at around 14 hours who this rider is. And when he then says, I had all jalousies down. It was dark in the room. I just had the light switched on. And suddenly the pillar of fire came. The supernatural light came into the room. And there I was told, I believe it, as true as God lives, as true as Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that Brother Branham was a man sent from God to bring us the divine message. And just be very honest now, who would not fall prey to the nice gestures of the Antichrist? Even today, dressed in white from head to toe, and everywhere he's nicely received. The red carpet is just rolled out, and then the whole thing rolls. But where does it roll? We don't look on that what blinds other people. We look on that what God revealed in these last days. And let me say this here clearly today. All whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain before the foundation of the world, they will give applause to the Antichrist and will say, such a kind man never existed on earth. That he can smile, this I understand well. For he thinks by himself, I have you all in my pocket. That he can smile in a lofty way, this is clear to all of us. But the message of God, and also this I want to put upon the lampstand. I've said it a couple of times, but I say it because of a divine must. Only he who recognizes by revelation the divinity of Jesus Christ will by revelation look through the satanity of the Antichrist. All the others will mix. And here we come to the last rider. He is no more white. He is no more red. He is no more black. There all the first three colors are thrown into one pot. And then he rides on the last pull. He doesn't come with horns. He doesn't come black. He doesn't come read. He has the dialogue here and the dialogue there. And whoever reads just a bit of insider information, how all the delegations, whether Jewish, whether Islamic, whether Buddhistic, whether Hinduistic, everything goes to and fro. And all come to him. And then he comes, bows down, and whoever has seen the pictures, he doesn't touch the earth with his mouth, but with a forehead. One can watch the things very well. But God's people has the overall view and the insight. And you know what? We stand lonely and abandoned, being misunderstood by all other churches. Believe it or not, who of you witnesses it? Just be honest. With whom can you speak about these things? There are great Pentecostals already at the time of Brother Branham. There already a mighty Bible teacher said, the great strong man, he will come. He will be so tall like almost a skyscraper, and it will be an artificial sculpture into which one can pump life into it. Then he will get an injection, and then he will make one step so far as a block, and then the whole world will look up to him. And then Brother Branham said, with a torn and broken heart, how can such a man claim to be a teacher of the scripture or even have received the Holy Spirit? Today, they seek the Antichrist with Khomeini. One seeks him in Israel. One seeks him elsewhere, only not there where he is. I care nothing for it. These things must remain on the agenda until the end. You may say, is this really of such a great significance? Absolutely. Whoever does not draw a clear line here and just thinks humanly, he will slip off. And do you know who once was thinking humanly? In Matthew 16, right after the Savior said to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Right after this, the Lord said, the Son of Man will have to suffer and be handed over into the hands of sinners. And promptly Peter comes and says, Lord, may this not happen to you. And what does the Lord say? Satan, get thee behind me, because what you have said is humanly and not from God. You can all read it in Matthew 16, whether now or at home. What was it? Human reasoning. Don't lean on your understanding. If it's about divine things, don't lean unto thine own understanding. Let the wisdom of God speak and receive the divine knowledge which comes by revelation, not by musings. Divine knowledge of Jesus Christ by revelation of the Word and Spirit. And the same is with the Word of God. Now somebody may think, but what was with the people in the past? Just read it. What Zwingli, what Calvin, what Schwenkfeld, what Luther in those days had as anointed eyes. They knew where anti-Christianity has its seat. And now I repeat myself once again. They were called sects because it was a breakaway of a main direction. Where this direction leads to, we don't want to line out here. But it doesn't lead upwards. Upwards leads only the divine direction and no other. At that time there was the question, no one ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man who is in heaven. And today they say Mary also ascended. I don't know where. When the Lord says no one, then it's no one. Finish. Then no man has the right to say the opposite and to object God. And there I remember the words of Luther, who simply said, the Antichrist does not exalt himself above the God who is spirit and who sits in heaven on the throne. He exalts himself above the written God manifested in the flesh, namely above the Word which became flesh. And then he adds the sentence, he thinks he can judge all, but does not let himself be judged by no one. There is only one judgment, and this God holds. And only one book, what at the judgment concerns the world at large, not the life of the individual, but what concerns the jurisdiction. There is only one book that will be opened. Let us come to this point. Let us do the Antichrist do for what he is appointed to. But let us also do our Lord, our exalted Lord, what he intends to do in these last days in his church. And whosoever has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Here, in the fourth seal, Revelation 6, from verse 7, it says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, in brackets a ill-looking color. Sure, that thing is dead. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. This will then be in the great tribulation, where all these things will be fulfilled. Here to me it was just about death. We say death is overcome, death is conquered, and then we see that death is still somehow here, that it still rules. But let me emphasize once again, death is for the believer not the separation from God. It's not something wicked, not something cruel. Death has only its task to set the life free, which comes to its end, so that we can go to the Lord. Let me read from Hebrews, also from chapter 2, from verse 14 to 15. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. A believer is no more in bondage, no more in the fear of death. A believer knows death is overcome, hell is conquered. Our destination is neither death nor hell. Our destination is, as our Lord said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Did we all read it? There was great lamentation. Martha and Mary mourned and wept. And there were other women who mourned. In great number they came. There are countries, there it's a custom, when a person dies, then all the women from all the neighborhood come, and then they weep. But don't ask me how. I witnessed this one single time. I don't want to witness it a second time. I didn't know what was going on in that country. I will not say here which country it was. But I didn't know what was going on. Such a bitter lamentation I never heard in my life. And when some got a bit hoarse, then the others started. And there was a lamentation until the early morning. And I was tired of preaching. It was on a missionary trip in the African countries. And I needed desperately sleep. And when I then, in the next morning, asked the brother what was actually going on. Yes, he says, there was a disease. I said, all right, but I don't ask because of the disease. I ask because of the lamentation. And then he said, that was what it was about. This is custom here. Martha and Mary and some others wept and mourned. And then the Lord came and made an end to all the mourning and lamenting and said, I am the resurrection and life. And then they looked at him. And Martha said, I know that he will rise on the last day. And this was too much for the Lord. He asked, where did you lay him? And then came the second command. Take away the stone. And Martha said, he stinks already. Sometimes God lets the things go so far that the last hope is gone. Is this right? And then suddenly she says, also now I know. Whatever you say, this God will do. It will take place. And he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And it happened. What is with the believers? The believer lives, though he be dead. What did we hear Brother Branham say when he was transferred into paradise? And he disproves the doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventists who believe in a soul sleep, who think the person dies, and then he sees and hears nothing until he is awakened. No, and again no. Our Lord said already to the thief on the cross, verily, verily, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, how wonderful that we are not obligated to any doctrine, that we can believe God. Unreserved with all our hearts, agreeing with God in all things. Why should there be a paradise if nobody would be in it? God knows exactly what he does. See, he destroyed him who had the power over death. Now you may say, and I say it also, and we all know it, that the devil is still loose, right? The devil is still loose. And do you know on whom he is released the most and directly? On the believers. On the believers. And I tell you now, based upon the word, on which believers? Not on the half-believers. Not on them who believe as they like. I read it to you, what is written in the Bible. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Now it comes. Satan has desired to to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Who is he attacking? Whom did he desire? The wheat, not the others. He lets the others go, accompanied with trumpets and cymbals. But here it is written, to sift you as one sifts wheat, not tares, wheat. There is a wheat. Jesus was the corn of wheat. And he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Whom does he sift? Whom does he shake to and fro? Whom does he hit on? Most certainly not on the chaff. Most certainly not on the tear. I read it again. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you, not to rule over you, not to control you, not to inspire you, not to fool you. For what? For what? To sift you as wheat is sifted. You know very well how it was in the Orient. There was a threshing with a flail, and the wind was taking care of that the chaff took its direction depending on the wind. But the wheat remained there. It was beaten so that it is separated from the chaff, and as the pure wheat remains. Beloved in the Lord. Who writes it? Is it Paul? Is it Peter? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. It has to be like that. So one has to read these scriptures precisely and then not counterbalance things, but comparing with one another. And so that Satan cannot trick here, I read you a scripture that in the first moment sounds totally different as the one that we just read now. I use only one. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Here it speaks of that the Lord gave to his own power over the power of Satan. And I'm grateful that in both places it is listed precisely of what it was about. Because when the disciples came back and said, Lord, in thy name also the evil spirits are subject to us, and so forth. You can read it. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. But if I cast out devils, and so forth. And then the Lord says, rejoice not. Maybe I read first chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, namely here from verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And what did the Lord say in verse 18? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You see what it was about? It happened. But even the defeated enemy over whom God has given us power, has only received one single task, and that is to sift us, really, to beat on us. I say once again, not to fool us, not to interpret us the word in the other way as it is written, not because of all the other things, only because of one thing, to sift us as the wheat is sifted, for no other task. And if the enemy can do it so well by God, then he shall do it. You know, Paul prayed to the Lord, for the devil apparently didn't deal with him elegantly, but he beat him with fists, so that Paul cried out, "Lord, I can't anymore. The thorn just pierced into my flesh. I can neither walk, nor stand, nor sit, nor lie. Lord, I can't anymore. Lord, it doesn't work anymore." And what does the Lord say? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Beloved, I hope this is a comfort for you. When some blows in the family, in marriage, at work, and even if the wallet also suffers, whatever it might be, remember Job. What happened with Job? Shall I read it to you? "At that time, there was no man who feared God so much like Job. And in Job 2, the sons of God gather in glory, and Satan comes among them." In verse 2 and 3, and in verse 6 it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Just imagine, dear Brother Branham says, God had such a confidence in Job. He knew he will serve God, whether he is rich or poor, whether he is sick or healthy, whether he lives or dies, he will serve God. In good days, who cannot serve God there? Huh, this is easy. Now we read here, Satan said, "You made a hedge around him. Nothing, not even I can touch him. No calamity. He is blessed," and so forth. "But give him into my hand for a time, and then you will see what kind of reaction will come." And God knew he could trust his Job, and said, "All right, do now with him what you like." And when this happens, then one blow comes after the other. When Satan strikes, then not only once, you all know the term Job's news. Then one Job's news comes after the other. Suddenly, everything goes wrong. Here a blow, and then another blow, and then again one. And right, this is the perfect sign that God is with you, and that Satan was just allowed to give you a trial. Blessed is he who stands the trial. And I will give you, because of time, I give you now just two hints. The one from the life of David. Where can you read it? Probably in 2 Chronicles. There it is written, "And Satan was angry against Israel, and incited David to go and number the people of Israel." Satan was angry against Israel and took the man who represented Israel. And behold, how many were it? I think 75,000 died then. But what do we read afterwards? David should choose between three things, and he most surely chose the best, what God could intend for him. And God blessed again, and he didn't even impute it to him. Saul, who was not chosen by God, who was only by men placed there where he stood, he has in our eyes committed only a little disobedience, because he should raise everything to the ground, the people and the cattle, and he spared the cattle, and he didn't carry out the command of the Lord precisely. And what happened there? To him God imputed it. And here I think on Romans 4, I can't help it, on the blessedness of David, that he spoke out in the Spirit. Blessed are they whom God has forgiven the sins, to whom he doesn't impute sin at all. There are people on earth who were chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. To them God cannot impute it. Everything was settled in the great account of God on the cross of Calvary. So, if the enemy strikes somewhere, don't be sad about it. Just the contrary. Begin to thank, for this is a good sign, namely that you are wheat, and that there a little chaff shall be separated from the wheat. The others, the devil has them anyhow. And therefore, he asked to let the true believers go through trials so that they can prove themselves. How grateful if we then can look back and say, Lord, you have been with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comforted me. How did David say at one place? The water has reached my neck. What was it? Let us think on others who had to go through trials. God was with them. He will also be with us. Whether temptations, whether Satan, whether death, whether hell, everything was settled by God in the overall account. Whatever comes must pass by him. He will not allow anything but what serves for our salvation and for our blessing. As we said, Satan has no right to fool true children of God. He has no right to lead into error and strange doctrines. He has no right at all. Only one thing he has negotiated: to be allowed to strike. And if God permits him to do so, that he strikes, then we don't want to complain about it. I know, we are human, and it's not different with me. But from today on, let us thank the Lord. What is written in Hebrews? You know that the same trials came upon all, as they also come upon you. Who would? Somebody told me on this journey, I would rather be chastened and to be with the Lord than to be without chastening and not experiencing the rapture. Whatever comes, we want to thank God with all our hearts. Let us wrap it up. God, in the creation, clearly visible, it lives, it bears fruit, it is here. God in Christ, clearly visible. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we can say as ambassadors of Christ, be ye reconciled with God. The reconciliation took place, but you must agree to this reconciliation. You must accept it. The reconciliation took place. You must accept it. You have to experience it. Jesus is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Healer. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is God. That's how Thomas said it. The man who at first was not present after the resurrection. My Lord and my God. But now the third. Christ in us. Or God in his people, making his word alive. Doing his works amidst his own. This is our longing. God in his people manifested in a perfect man in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we are no more children who are tossed to and fro, but being settled in the faith, being steadfast in the trials, that God could rely on us, that really the fullness, as on the day of Pentecost, was poured out. Now at the end, in the church, that it could be manifested. A couple of times, I said it to the Lord, we need now a greater manifestation of the power of God than it was ever on earth. And if I am very much touched on my inside, then I say to the Lord, as I also mean it inwardly, and I know he will shake the heaven and the earth. And as the prophet says, on that day heaven will obey the earth. And this must come. God will have people on earth so that heaven descends and the blessing of God is manifested among the people of God. Now, I ask you to believe this, for this is true. My elder brother, he always says, God didn't call me to preach. But he says, everything is true, what is written in the Word of God. To believe with all your heart. And when I then sometimes make a strong statement, then he says afterwards, this is true. And it does so good, it does so well, if people are in the matter. And if he then formulates it in another way, then he says, that's right. Amen? Yes, one has to be really in the matter inwardly and say, God's word is true. Rather the heaven falls before his word deceives me, as a song goes. And if we are the seed of Abraham, let us do as he did. We can make a view on ourselves and say, there is nothing good in me. and on me and so forth. And what are we? A human being like all the others. And this is a very correct conception. And not only conception, it's a fact. But we don't stop at it. We see what God has made out of us. It does not yet appear what we shall be. And then John comes out with it. Now we are the children of God. But when he shall appear, then we will be like him. Amen. This we believe with all our heart and with all our soul. Now, in closing, I want to hear your amen. Also from us, who we are aged. Do you all believe, who we are present here, that we are already now the children of God? Say amen. I prove it to you from the scripture. John 1. All who received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. Have you believed on his name? Amen. Have you become children of God? Amen. Now we are the children of God. It does not yet appear that everything is made subject under his feet. Death is still around us. Hell is still raging. And so forth. But we look on him who was lowered for a short time, and of whom it is written, rule in the midst of your enemies until all enemies will be made your footstool. Then suddenly, 1 Corinthians 15:28 comes to fulfillment. When everything will be made subject to him. Let me read it to you, so that you know that it's also written like this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says, all things are put under him. Hallelujah. When he then shall say, all things are put under him, then it's no more preached. Then it is here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. When he then shall say, all things are made subject, then it is clear that this does not include the one who put everything in subjection to him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Then the terms Father and Son ceases. Then the revelation in the Son merges back again. And Jesus said over and again, believe me that I came forth from God and that I return again back to God. He came forth from God, has spoken a divine kindred into existence, sons and daughters of God, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Here are they whom God has given to me. Oh, how many scriptures we could mention here. But when that time comes, where he says, now all things are made subject, that will be majestic. This will be glorious. And we may already now submit to him, doing his will, following him, believing him. And right at the end, I would like to address a word to all who have not yet consecrated their life to the Lord. Every gathering could mean for the individual the last opportunity. Perhaps could be even the last meeting. We think here now on Sister Hirt. We think on many who we have seen here, year in, year out. Suddenly, they were no more here. One day, 1 hour, will be the last day and will be the last hour. Dear heart, God has really done everything what He could do. He who gets lost by his own decision. He gets lost because he doesn't want to be saved. He doesn't get lost because he sinned and that he was born in sin and lived in sin. He gets only lost because he didn't accept salvation. Jesus Christ is today your Savior. Make an end to the inner battle and say, Lord, here I am. You revealed yourself to me. You spoke to me. Here is my life. And to them who are in trials, to you I address Romans 8, verse 28, and especially also verse 33. All things work together for good to them who love God. Most people read something into it. They read the word must into this. And it's really not written in the Bible. It is only written, all things work together for good to them who love God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in this connection, in Romans 8, Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord? And the result? Nothing at all. Not life, not death. Nothing present, nothing to come. No suffering, no sword. Nothing can separate us who we have tasted and experienced the love of God. Nothing can separate us from this divine love that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Joined with God, united with Him forever and ever. Blessed and praised be His name. Amen. Who was happy that we were here today? Say Amen. Amen. Let us once again stand up and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we know that you are today in our midst. We know that you have spoken with us today, and that no man leaves this building for whom not something was that applied to him, that was intended for him, O Lord. There was something for everyone. Also for those who labor and are heavy laden, for those who are tried, for all was something. Also for the faint-hearted, for everyone there was something today. Also for all who we love you, and this we all do, who we love your word, and who we have recognized the hour and the message and the messenger for this time. Thanks be to you once again. You are the living God. Lord, as you revealed yourself in all of the creation, over and again, bringing forth new life, new fruits. Dear Lord, Almighty God, as you revealed yourself in Christ, in all your fullness, so reveal thyself in your church in the same fullness. Lay it into our hearts, namely that verse, and you possess all the fullness in him who is the head of all principality and power. The devil has no power. No one is our head. You are our head. You have all the power in heaven and on earth. To you we belong as the church. You are the head of your body, the church. You shall have the preeminence in all. Show us the way to it, O Lord. Show it to me, that I walk in obedience, so that you can reveal yourself in rivers, and that you can bless, and that you can confirm your word. Do the same on all your people. And now we pray for all of mankind, for all peoples, tongues, and nations, for all governments, for all who are in authority, enthrone, dethrone, do as you like, according to your plan for this time. Bless in particular the Eastern Bloc that was disadvantaged for so long in a manifold way, earthy and spiritual. May you manifest yourself there. Also there are our brothers and sisters. We bless them in the name of the Lord. Bless especially the government in Moscow. Bless Mr. Gorbachev. Lord, bless all in all countries. And we thank you also for our countries, for the freedom which we have, for the well-being, for the means you are giving us, that we can look after the whole world with spiritual food. You blessed Switzerland in a special way, and you kept them safe in the Second World War, that no soldier has put his foot into this country. Dear Lord, half of the world was conquered, and this country was spared. Great God, like an oasis, and here you let your servant William Branham come. Here in the whole stadium, he preached. Here you confirmed your word. Dear Lord, and if it pleases you, make in this city the beginning of your total restoration and your glorification and confirmation of your word. You are God. Do it as you like. Your will be done. Thy kingdom come in all power. Praise be to you throughout eternity. Amen.